This is Jim Inkster, and welcome to Talk Louisiana on WRKF. And thanks to Julie Baxter-Pair, who did a fine job yesterday, as she always does in the host chair. And it's good to be back with you. Your numbers are 877-217-5757. And locally, 297-5633. The email talk@talklouisiana.org. In studio, Lewis Owens Unglesby, perhaps the best-known attorney in Louisiana, and a guy who's been doing his thing for over 40 years now. And he is here to talk about a few different matters, but the story of stories emanating right now is the confirmation, or maybe non-confirmation, of Brett Kavanaugh as a U.S. Supreme Court justice. He appeared to be sailing toward becoming the ninth justice, succeeding Anthony Kennedy, and then boom, there were a few stories last week, one about his finances that has largely gone by the wayside, and the other, of course, is about a sexual misconduct allegation. Republicans laid out plans yesterday for a Senate committee hearing at which Brett Kavanaugh and the woman alleging that he assaulted her decades ago will testify publicly. On that committee is our own John Neely Kennedy, U.S. Senator from Louisiana. And Brett Kavanaugh, of course, he needs 51 votes in the U.S. Senate to become the Supreme Court Justice. Clarence Thomas got 52 votes when he was accused of sexual misconduct in 1991. And at that time, 11 Democrats voted for Thomas, including Louisiana's John Breaux and Bennett Johnston. The times are much different now, Lewis Unglesby. Is Kavanaugh toast, or does he have a chance to survive this?
No, I think he has certainly has an excellent chance to survive this. We don't know anything about the lady who's making the accusations or how she will appear and what kind of impression she'll make. It sounds like she's a very credible, thoughtful person. But the chickens are just coming home to roost in Washington. It's unfortunate that the partisanship, and it's been going on for a while, has made it into the third branch of government. And I fought the lawyers for that. A judge doesn't have to say that he's going to be a judge for the right wing or a judge for the left wing. A judge just ought to say, today I'm a judge and my new party is the law and the evidence. But unfortunately, they audition themselves as some kind of ideologue, one kind or another, and if they please the right side at the right time, then they get to be in positions of power. It's very unique. It's not historically the way it's always been, and it's unfortunate. I don't blame Judge Kavanaugh per se for that, but my goodness, Trump says, I'm going to take a list of people. He doesn't know anything. He's not a lawyer. His lawyer was Michael Cohen. He doesn't know anything about lawyering. Trump doesn't. Bankruptcy, he's familiar with it. That's it. So he just contracts it out to this really radical group of people, the Heritage Foundation and the Freedom Caucus and all these people. They have a real agenda. And so then the nominee is able to come and say, well, the president never asked me what I thought about A, B, C, or D. Well, no, he didn't have to. They did.
Right, but Kavanaugh was not on the original list. He didn't get on the list until it was reported that he had written that presidents should be immune from prosecution while they're in office, and some believe that's why the president suddenly took a shine to Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, of course, that's just, he has every right to his opinion, and it may be intellectually very interesting. People write things, you know, in the highbrow studies and just to provoke attention. I don't know if Kavanaugh really believes that or he doesn't, but if he does, that would be unfortunate because the idea of America was to not have a king, not to find a king.
Well, this is the same Brett Kavanaugh who was the top aide to Ken Starr when he was the special counsel in the Bill Clinton investigation and wanted Starr to ask Clinton questions about sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky right down to how they did it, where they did it, what body parts were used. It was a real invasion of privacy from most accounts, but yet he's gone from that to this in which he apparently says, okay, presidents are immune, that they've got a big job to do and they shouldn't be distracted from doing their jobs.
Well, all of us are subject to the law. We're all, the one thing, the beautiful thing of the United States and the idealism behind democracy is actually that all of us are subject to the law. Everybody's equal. It doesn't matter what your status is. If you're going to say a president, why stop? Then you got a vice president, then you got a cabinet officer, then you got a senator, then you got a congressman. You can't make a rule like that. I can't imagine that Kavanaugh honestly thinks that.
Well, he is now in the crossfire at age 53, and he's getting what he wanted Bill Clinton to get. He's going to be questioned, I'm sure, about this alleged incident. There are many people who have already said they believe the woman, and one of those is Richard Blumenthal, the senator from Connecticut. Others, like Orrin Hatch, who, of course, didn't believe Anita Hill 26, 27 years ago, he says the woman is, quote, mixed up. We got 11 on the Judiciary Committee, 11 Republicans, all men, 10 Democrats, 7 men, 3 women. So the panel has 18 men, 3 women. Is that a fair group to hear allegations of this kind?
Well, when you pick the group, you don't know what that's going to happen, so I can't comment on how they do that. A lot of that's done on seniority. A lot of it's based on interest. That is, what are the senators more interested in? Where their backgrounds come from? You know, they try to put people on there that you hope know something, and if they're on the law committees, about law. If they're about agriculture, you hope they know about farming.
Well, yeah, John Kennedy certainly didn't get there by seniority, but he is on the committee.
Yeah, so, the problem is, you've got a bunch of things happening on the surface and below the surface. Number one is, of course, that high sensitivity that is now in America about misconduct involving women historically. And that's a big, big issue that you can't close your eyes to or ignore. The second thing is that there are a lot of people who now think that these old historical allegations have importance, largely fueled by what's come out with the young people involving the Catholic Church. So normally, in my 20 years ago, you had somebody talking about something happened 36 years ago, you'd kind of brush it off. Well, today, because of those events with the children, that's risen to the surface, and people are beginning to think, well, maybe just because it's a long time ago doesn't mean it's wrong, that the allegations are wrong. Then you've got the way that McConnell treated the Obama nominee, so you've still got a lot of mad
people. He didn't even get a hearing.
You know, you got some angry people wanting to take revenge, and then they changed the rules. Reid changed the rules to get some of Obama's people in, and then when McConnell came in, he changed them completely, so you don't have a 60-vote rule anymore on a nominee for the Supreme Court. Well, normally, if you can get 60% of 100 people, that's a pretty good consensus that you've got a good nominee. Now that's just, can you squeak by one vote here or one vote there? That the whole thing is kind of gotten cockeyed. I don't know what it'll take to get back to normal, but they need to get back to normal.
877-217-5757 if you'd like to opine about the nominee, a troubled nomination now, of Brett Kavanaugh to the high court. He was considered to be somebody who would get all of the Republicans and perhaps 5 or 6 Democrats. And there have been close votes before, 52-48 for Clarence Thomas, but generally the votes are not close. Even people like Antonin Scalia, he got over 90 votes, and that was after Robert Bork. We hear people say the world changed with the nomination of Robert Bork. Well, most of these justices are on there with 80 or 90 votes from the Senate for approval. Brett Kavanaugh, I would guess, Louis Unglesby, if it comes down to a vote, it'll be very close.
Apparently it will, and a lot of that has to do with the willingness, though, now, and of these judges to historically take positions that either are very pleasing or displeasing to a small segment of society. And that's the problem. If you have a judge that's just really is legitimately straight down the line, not dealing, you know, where when you're sitting in the room, I can tell you, there are certain judges, not many, thank goodness, but there are some judges I've sat in front of, and I know who's going to win the case based on what side of the aisle they're sitting on. I mean, I know when I sit down. But those people seem to be lately a lot of the ones that they want to nominate for these high positions, and that's a mistake.
We're going to talk also about a new development in which the President of the United States is calling for public disclosure of all documents related to the Mueller investigation while it is ongoing, and this could be a thorn in the special counsel's side. It's unprecedented, and some believe it's designed to gum up the works. So there is much going on in Washington. And before the sexual misconduct allegations started last week, it was noted that Brett Kavanaugh owed a lot of money on credit cards and had many interesting financial transactions that caused some people to say that he has some sort of a gambling issue. We'll talk about that as well. 877-217-5757, back after this. 3-2, Jim Inkster. Good to visit with you, and it's Talk Louisiana. Louis Unglesby is our guest, the well-known attorney who is, of course, well-versed on many topics, and he's represented clients in civil court and criminal court, and I'm sure there is a battery of attorneys at the side of one Brett Kavanaugh right now, who, of course, is a lawyer himself, a judge in the highest levels of government and on the appeals court in Washington, D.C., and now the nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court of President Donald John Trump to succeed Anthony Kennedy. Kavanaugh is regarded as a much more conservative potential justice than was Kennedy. So many on the left, of course, had great reservation because he could be the deciding vote in overturning Roe v. Wade and could be the deciding vote in many other cases. He could overturn the Affordable Care Act. A lot is at stake. And some are saying that people are defending him for partisan reasons and attacking him for partisan reasons. But it turns out that Judge Kavanaugh has a somewhat exotic past. This is a story in Mother Jones a few days ago, saying before President Trump nominated Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, he had a lot of debt. In May of 2017, he reported owing between $60,000 and $200,000 on three credit cards and a loan against his retirement account. By the time the president nominated him to the high court in July of this year, those debts had vanished. Overall, his reported income and assets didn't seem sufficient to pay off all that debt while maintaining his upper-class lifestyle, an expensive house in an exclusive suburban neighborhoods, two kids in a $10,500-a-year private school, a membership in a posh country club reported to charge $92,000 initiation fees and $110,000 to be a member each year. His financial disclosure forms have raised more questions than they've answered, leading to speculation about whether Judge Kavanaugh's had a private benefactor and what sorts of conflicts that relationship might entail. Now, in ordinary circumstances, Louis Unglesby, these issues would be dominating, but now they have taken a back seat to the sexual misconduct allegations. Your thoughts about whether these senators, when they have a chance to re-question him, should question him about his finances as well?
Well, yes, definitely. That's much more of interest to me. If that's properly reported, and I can't comment on whether it is or it isn't, I guess it's public record. A federal judge makes on the appeal court a little less, I think, than $200,000 a year, maybe a little more, but it's right in that range. It would be impossible as a salaried employee of the federal government to pay your taxes and pay $110,000 a year to a country club and have any food to go to the grocery store with. So you couldn't maintain any kind of lifestyle. You'd be in a trailer with a scooter. So that's just basic essential math. I'm always fascinated how some politicians, who everyone knows are on a salary. Right. I mean, you know, Kavanaugh's been working for the federal government for many years, going back to the Bush days. He doesn't have a source of wealth. And when you get appointed or nominated, you go through all your finances. So, if you have a $2 million trust fund, they know about it, and that explains how you can live like that. But if you don't, how you do it? I would want to know the answer to that. I'd want to know it from the standpoint that maybe I don't know how to manage my own money, and he could teach me something.
Well, he also is reported to have bought, I think, $200,000 in baseball tickets to Washington Nationals games. So he has been funneling a lot of money here, there, and elsewhere. And as you say, as a public employee, unless he has some kind of private wealth, which I guess is possible. Maybe he inherited it, got his money the old-fashioned way.
Well, but it would that what I'm saying, that would be a known thing. See, if he had inherited wealth in the course of his disclosures over time, that would have been disclosed. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. You talk about the baseball tickets. I know he says that, and I'm sure it's true, that he bought them and all of his friends paid him the money back. But all of those listening know to get $200,000 credit on your credit card is quite a feat. Mm-hmm. You know, even though you're going to get the money paid back, I don't know anybody that carries around a $200,000 credit card. So I don't understand how Kavanaugh can do these things. I would be asking those questions. The failure to ask those questions is mm-hmm. interesting to me as the anything else.
877-217-5757. Another listener says, what about his wife? She might have wealth, but that would be on a financial disclosure form, wouldn't it?
Yes, and there's no indication that, if I recall, there's no indication that he did. I mean, the man didn't come from poverty, for sure. He went to really expensive schools, and he's very highly educated, like John Kennedy. Mm-hmm. He didn't come from, modest means by any way, but that ought to be easily explainable, and he could have said that. My wife has a lot of money. Her father, John Kerry's wife, for example, owns Heinz Ketchup, so everybody knows why he can live like that.
877-217-5757. We're going to the phone lines in just a moment, but Lindsay asks a good question, and this is if Democrats somehow defeat him, and it'll have to be done, by the way, with some Republican help. President Trump's not going to suddenly nominate a moderate or a liberal to succeed Justice Kennedy. Sometimes the next person in line might be even worse. If you're from a Democratic perspective, what will defeating him do?
I don't know that I can't even imagine, the next step in that. That's way up there in the Washington stratosphere. Trump had a list. I'm sure he'll just go to whoever next person or two he has on his list. I know there was a lady.
Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah.
Coney.
A lot of people
from New Orleans
really wanted him to pick. Maybe he'll do that. What I find fascinating about the whole thing is all of this fighting seems to be centered around just what do you think about one thing, Roe versus Wade, hypothetic. That's what they're always arguing over. And Kavanaugh said, and every one of these people has said publicly, and they say it in their interviews, and then it gets reported, they all say, look, that's decided.
It's decided until it's
so if
not
I were,
decided.
If I were on the in the religious right movement, I wouldn't be all excited about any of these people because they've already told me that the one thing I care about, I'm going to lose.
Not necessarily. It's decided right now. It may not be decided a year from now. But Larry in Lafayette is our first caller, and we'll take some more. And we do have one line open, 877-217-5757. Hello, Larry. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, America. My experience is that, as a son of a poor Southerner who was extremely right-leaning, I've always had better luck when I had supervisors that were black women. They were the fairest to me and the most productive and interested in getting the job done. So, I don't want to see another spoiled rich boy up there. I think we should have some kind of mandate that puts, equal people in equal positions in that.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Good observation. He would be the ninth of nine justices from the Ivy League. Most of them, of course, were born to privilege. Does that matter? Can you be a good judge if you do not have an experience that goes beyond private schools and fraternity houses and elite universities? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, if I were in charge of the world, I'd want judges who represented people in the past. I mean, I'd want a judge whose legal experience was never being just the favored person, they worked for a judge, these guys always, they were clerks for judges, Then they went into government in some level, and they did their bureaucratic work, and then they went to either a law school or the judiciary, and then now they're at the top. They've never had to be talked to like judges talk to lawyers. You know, they've never had to hear that coming back. They've never had to sit across the desk from some person whose interest is what their interest is, and they're representing that person. I like a judge who understands the world, not just a bunch of law books. I don't like lawyers who were the smartest people in high school, the smartest people in college. First job they ever did, first employee they ever dealt with was their secretary. I don't like that. I don't think that leads to good judgment. I like real people.
Your number, Baton Rouge, it's 297-5633. Around the state and elsewhere, 877-217-5757. Email talk at talklouisiana.org. We'll return with Louis Unglesby and go back to the phone lines after this pause for the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us, and a bit more time with Louis Unglesby. Of course, well-known attorney, more than four decades of experience in Baton Rouge and beyond, and he is here, and we're talking about the Trump administration and a whole lot of shaking going on regarding the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, which appeared to be sailing through the hoops, and suddenly there is a big roadblock with this allegation of sexual misconduct, and come Monday before the Judiciary Committee, if things go according to plan, it'll be Judge Kavanaugh being questioned by Democrats and Republicans, 10 Democrats, 11 Republicans, including John Neely Kennedy. And he'll be asked about this alleged sexual misconduct of 36 years ago. Now, Kamala Harris, the senator from California, Louis Unglesby, says this shouldn't happen Monday, that the FBI should do a full-fledged investigation before the senators question him. Would that be appropriate, or is that something that is unnecessary?
Well, I don't know the details. It wouldn't hurt to get a lot more facts. In fairness to Kavanaugh, if I were Kavanaugh, and his position, I believe, is that this just never happened. I wasn't there. I don't know what you're talking about. You got the wrong guy. Assuming that is his strong plan, that's a position he's going to take. Seemed like he would want them to investigate because they would have to come to that inevitable conclusion that she's just made a mistake.
Oh, yeah.
And a mistake solves everybody's problems. They don't have to be for or against women. They don't have to be, it doesn't have to be controversial. If it's just a mistake, it's a mistake, you know, well-intended. Forget about it. So I'd be wanting, if I were Kavanaugh, I'd be wanting an investigation.
Now, several reports today indicate she has taken a polygraph and test and passed. Those are not admissible in court, but they are, of course, taken into account. Should Kavanaugh take one?
Well, I'll say that they need to find out what's the details of how good was the polygrapher, how good were the test, et cetera. But we do know, I mean, I know that that they're FBI people, they're retired FBI people, retired Secret Service and other kind of people that do that, that are excellent at it, and the government uses it. The government uses polygraph tests all the time. They don't admit them into law courts for some reason, but they admit them all the time.
877-217-5757 if you'd like to join the conversation. Paul in Opelousas. Paul, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Louis Unglesby. Hi, Paul. Are you there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm here. You hear me?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Yeah. Two questions. Who's next? And should judges be elected? Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. Should justices, judges? Well, judges are elected in many cases, but should Supreme Court justices be elected?
Well, I mean, the problem we have is we can think of things, and Paul has a good point, that sound like you'd want to do it, but you got to go back to the Constitution, which says that this is how we do it. And when you start fooling with the Constitution, you can't just pick out one thing and say, okay, we're just going to deal with this amendment or this particular thing. And then I think, rightly so, in America today, the idea of trying to rewrite the Constitution would be a disaster. So now, number two, is it better to elect judges in general, like in Louisiana? Absolutely. there's no reason not to elect judges. The idea of having any group of people, whomever they may be or however high-minded they may seem to think they are, in charge of the justice system instead of the average voter, which is crazy. Everybody knows the guy that they may have to go in front of. They see him at the grocery store. They ought to get to vote for him.
What about lifetime appointments?
Well, that's always a big debate. The concept is that if it weren't for lifetime appointments, you would have never had people with the courage to make some of the very difficult decisions that federal judges make. The other side of the coin is, I've always thought that a nominee could solve the problem. I would love, the judge I'd like to have, if I were nominating, is a judge who said, look, I'm going to do this job. I'm going to do it for 12 years, or I'm going to do it for 15 years. Then I'm going back to being a lawyer. If you knew you were going back to being like the rest of us, that would affect how you treated people and how you judged.
Jerry in Baton Rouge. Hi, Jerry. You're on Talk Louisiana with Louis Unglesby.
Hello?
Yes, Jerry.
I wanted to make a comment on Roe versus Wade.
Yes.
Anyone who is opposed to Roe versus Wade should get the book of Gary Wills, G-A-R-R-Y-W-I-L-L-S.
Yeah, we're familiar with him. He's been on this show. And Gary Wills is, of course, a liberal scholar who is a devout Roman Catholic who is probably for a woman's right to choose, even though he is a devout evangelical himself. Like everything else, the world is not universal, Louis Unglesby. And what is the book you're referring to, Jerry? Please turn your radio down.
Well, he does not talk about this from a Catholic standpoint. He talks about it from a truly scientific attitude, and he also debunks everything that the fundamentalists say about the right to, about their right to life movement.
All right, Louis Unglesby, if Roe v. Wade is, quote, overturned, will it be a state-by-state thing, or do you think it'll be a nationwide proposition that abortion will be banned in all 50 states in the District of Columbia?
No, I think it'll be a state-by-state thing, and I haven't ever read Roe versus Wade, honestly, since law school. I remember when it came out then, it was a big deal, but if I recall, there's a lot of medicine in Roe versus Wade, a lot of talk about what trimester a person's in and all, and that is certainly for sure with modern medicine no longer accurate. I mean, we know that the foundations of the medicine they were basing their thinking on are different and much more advanced today. Now, where that takes the law, I don't know.
Well, in Louisiana, we passed a law that bans abortion after 15 weeks, and now the Supreme Court may very well have to rule on that. That would not eliminate abortion. Most abortions occur far earlier than that. But we're going to see. And when a justice candidate says that he believes it's settled law, well, that's one thing when you're on the appeals court and precedent is a factor. But in the Supreme Court, they set their own precedents, Louis Unglesby. They can overturn anything. For example, at one time, slavery was settled law, too. But ultimately, the court decided that wasn't a good thing.
If you got five votes, you got the power.
That's right. You can also elect a president with five votes, as we found out. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Louis Unglesby.
Isn't Roe v. Wade just a cultural wedge issue the Republicans exploit to get the evangelical vote? And the real thing they care about is getting judges who will uphold tax cuts for the rich while taking away the safety net for the average citizens.
Louis Unglesby?
A true conservative, I'll say this, if we leave religion out of it for a minute, a true conservative hardly exists anymore, because a true conservative would be all in favor of jury trials. They'd be in favor of upholding verdicts. They would never think of something like tort reform. They'd spit that out and see it as nothing but a corporatist, elitist plan to save money for rich people. But the politics of money are so intertwined that people that claim to be conservative are really nothing but corporatists. The people, the third branch of government, is the only branch of government where regular people actually decide stuff. You can't go down to the legislature and grab your senator off the floor and tell him how to vote. You can't go down to the governor's office and demand that you see him or go show up at the White House. We don't have that access. But you have complete access to the courthouse, both to watch it and to participate in it. And the people that want to change that are not being true to honest conservative values. How could you say that a jury that voted for me on Saturday to elect me is too dumb the following Friday to vote on a jury that I have to give them all kind of special rules? That's ridiculous.
Okay. Now, the other question that would be front page news today is the president, and he has the authority to do this. He wants the records from the Mueller investigation to be made public right now. That is unprecedented. And is it something that's good? Most of us like sunshine in our government, or is this going to perhaps thwart the investigation of the special counsel?
Well, first, he doesn't want all the records. He just wants the records of the people that he doesn't like Comey. The second thing is, if I were, again, I don't know what those records show, neither does Trump, but if I were running for office and I was a Republican, I wouldn't want that, because for all I know, what's probably going to come out is a lot of unpleasant statements about Trump. Now, then I'm trying to campaign and I'm supposed to be supporting Trump. Now I've given the Democrats a whole new set of ads based out of what were otherwise classified documents. So practically it doesn't make sense. From a perspective of law, these FISA warrants are highly, highly secretive. I don't even know if you can find out who the judges are on the FISA court. Well, and the idea of anybody just throwing them out there to the world, I would suspect all the CIA kind of people and the spies and the people that are involved in drug investigations, that they don't want anything like that to happen. So I don't think it's good law enforcement.
We're 7 weeks away from an election, and all of this has a political context. And Dan downtown, I think he's right about conservatives using Roe v. Wade as a fundraising mechanism, but liberals do the same thing. And all of this will have some effect. We don't know yet, but it'll have some effect on what happens the first Tuesday in November.
Yeah, there are studies that actually some of these wedge issues, and pick any one you want, Roe versus Wade, welfare, anything you want to pick, that they're perpetuated rather than reform, because they're too good of a use for one side or the other politically to fix.
Yeah, and both sides use them as issues. 877-217-5757 is your number. Still time to get in. A few more minutes with Lewis Owens Unglesby on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And Lewis Unglesby is with us, and we've gotten some inquiries about other matters, including the measure that is on the ballot in Louisiana in November regarding the unanimous jury, would require a unanimous jury for conviction. What do you think? Is that a good idea?
Yeah, it's a great idea, really. And I think that the support of the district attorneys associations in general demonstrates it's a great idea. Everyone feels like that before you put somebody in jail for the rest of their life, you need to be able to convince everybody on the jury that they did it. That's not unreasonable. And we have so many now crimes in Louisiana that carry such extraordinarily harsh sentences that to require unanimity of the jury is not unfair. It's very fair. All the other states do it. They don't have any problem convicting the guilty and freeing the innocent. So we need to just fall in line with that.
You recently were involved in a high-profile trial regarding the president of Ascension Parish. Your thoughts about what happened there?
Well, I mean, it was clearly unfortunate that he had to go through it. It was surprising to me the way it was handled, because the grand jury, best I could tell, never heard from the key witness, and no one until the trial listened to all the tapes. So the people in Ascension Parish on either side were never given the true story until we had to have a trial. And Kenny Matassa, the president, was anxious to have his trial. He may be the only person in history that ever filed two motions to get his trial faster than the prosecutor at the Attorney General's office wanted to do it. It was a failure of the government, really, the prosecutors. They had a dozen off ramps during the course of all that, and they took the position, astonishing position, honestly, for an attorney general to take. If you just think about this calmly for a minute, the attorney general of the state of Louisiana took the legal position that it was perfectly permissible to lie in order to qualify as a candidate, to swear under oath to things that you knew weren't true to qualify as a candidate, and then to run for office as a fraud on the basis that no one caught you within the 7-day challenge period in order to try to support prosecuting Kenny Matassa. Now, think about that a minute. The idea that the state of Louisiana's chief law enforcement officer is endorsing dishonesty and arguing for it? I mean, actively supporting it?
Well, I think we're getting the idea of why Louis Unglesby is such a skilled attorney presenting his client's case and doing it very adroitly in this case. And Kenny Matassa, of course, was fortunate to have you as his legal counsel. And we always enjoy your company. Before we leave, John Kennedy, who we're going to hear from in a moment, will have a vote on the Judiciary Committee. And my guess is that he probably will vote to confirm Judge Kavanaugh as a Supreme Court justice. Does he make it, or do you think that there's too much noise right now for him to withstand this?
I really think it depends on what kind of impression the lady makes. I really do think, I think there should have been an investigation, not for the reasons necessarily that the Democrats want one, but for the reasons that it would clarify everything and that everybody then would be more aware of what's going on when they ask their questions. But it's really going to come down to her. Everyone knows Kennedy. Kavanaugh's made his impression. It's up to her.
Thank you, Louis Unglesby. Always a pleasure. And before we get to Fairleigh Jackson and Peggy Sweeney McDonald, here is John Kennedy a few weeks ago questioning Judge Kavanaugh. And based on what's been going on, this particular question has new relevance. Let's go. Matt Doyle?
I can tell from your testimony the last 3 days or 2 days that high school was, those were formative years for you. You went to Georgetown Preparatory School?
I did Georgetown Prep, Jesuit High School here. It was very formative.
What was it like for you? What were you like? Were you, did you ever get in trouble? Were you more of a John Boy Walton type or a Ferris Bueller type? These ladies are old enough to understand.
I love sports, first and foremost. I think that I worked hard at school. I had a lot of friends. I've talked a lot about my friends.
Yeah.
And they've been here. So it was very formative.
Yes, indeed. We'll find out how formative it was next week. And in studio, Fairleigh Jackson and Peggy Sweeney McDonald. Fairleigh is the